Lord, help us to become masters of ourselves so that we may become the servants of others. Take our lips and speak through them, our minds and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with your Holy Spirit. Amen. It was interesting to listen to the gospel lesson this morning. My sermon is not based on it, but it did bring to mind the fact that my 90-year-old father-in-law just had to have a driver's test, including an eye test. And when we went to the optician, I asked what it was required to drive in New York State, and she said one arm, one leg, and one eye correctable to 20/40. So apparently you can not only get into heaven with one arm, one eye, and one leg, you can also drive in New York State. We spent much of the summer at Chautauqua Institution, and there were many good speakers this summer. They included Supreme Court Justice Kennedy. David McCullough shared his latest work on the French-American connection, and he pointed out the importance of seeing the past as relevant to the present. He also emphasized that the past, in a sense, is the present. He said, Jefferson and Washington didn't walk around Virginia saying, isn't it great living here in the past? The past is the present. Elie Wiesel, the famous Holocaust survivor who wrote that poignant book, Night, spoke. He shared some remarkable insights about mortality and morality and life. He made reference to the story of Cain and Abel and noted that the essence of this story of one brother killing another is that when you kill anyone, you kill your brother. The theme of 1 week was what makes us moral? And a corollary question was, where do humans see themselves in the grand scheme of creation? For much of recorded history, humans saw themselves as being at the center of the universe. The sun, the stars, the moon, the planets, they all revolved around the earth, and humans were the focal point of it all. And this worked quite well until about 500 years ago when Copernicus came along and challenged that assumption. What a shock that was for humans. All of a sudden, the universe didn't revolve around us. Humans were only a small part of the universe, and the Earth wasn't the center of the universe. The sun was. But humans are resilient. They conceded the point. They still reasoned, however, that even if we aren't the center of the universe, we are still the essence of all creation. After all, didn't God make man first? Humans are still at the top of the food chain. And then, my friends, 200 years ago, Darwin came along and pointed out that it doesn't look like we came first. We have lots of evidence that life in some form has been around for a very long time. About a million years, and Homo sapiens are relatively late in coming. In fact, we are even late in the primate scheme of evolution. What a blow. But again, humans are resilient. Okay, so we aren't the first of all creation, but at least we can think for ourselves, can't we? At least we're the captains of our own souls. And then 100 years ago, Sigmund Freud came along. He pointed out that humans are very complex creatures and our minds are subject to a lot of influences. In fact, about 80% of our decisions and behavior are not rational, they're subconscious. You may have convinced yourself that you are neat because you thought it through and realized that neat is better than messy. You can find things easier and you feel better about yourself if your life is organized. And your mother can come over to visit whenever she wants to, and you don't have to panic. But Freud pointed out that the real reason you are neat is because you were toilet trained too early. So here we are, human beings, a little unsure of where we stand in the universe, discovering that a lot of animals can do things better than we can, realizing that animals don't go around wantonly killing each other like humans do, and then realizing that we humans aren't in as much control of our lives and our values as we thought we were. And of course, this brings to the fore the question of our morality, because who we are determines our value system. Where does it come from? Well, many immediately turn to the Ten Commandments for proper behavioral norms. And the commandments work to a certain extent because they are basic rules of operation for civilizations, and these commandments, in fact, are pretty close to the Code of Hammurabi that was the moral basis for the Babylonians with whom the Hebrews lived for many years. But you know, the Ten Commandments don't cover everything, do they? They don't address the problem of drinking too much. They don't address the problem of air pollution. They don't address the problem of proliferation of atomic weapons. And yet, there are an awful lot of people who naively think that if you put the commandments up in enough places, everybody will behave. But in case you haven't noticed, that doesn't work. People don't behave because they are told to. They usually behave because it is in their best interest to do so, sometimes in the short run, sometimes in the long run. In the short run, you might obey the speed limit because remember that there's usually a speed trap on a certain road, and so you slow down. But on a four-lane highway, you let loose a little, or maybe a lot, depending on your age and your car and who's riding with you or who isn't riding with you. But again, different times produce different criteria for responsible behavior. For instance, when it comes to moral behavior, there used to be a limerick that describes the limits of intimacy. Some of you have heard it. You know my love of poetry, and I use this one a lot. It went, "There was a young woman named Mild who kept herself undefiled by thinking of Jesus and social diseases and the fear of having a child." Do you want me to repeat that? But that advice is dated. Today, many social diseases can be treated and birth control is available. And I have a feeling that when vigorous young people with an early onset of hormones get revved up, they don't think about Moses or Jesus, and they certainly are not thinking about the Virgin Mary. And I've been told that in the past, there were honorable men in business who were conscientious about their responsibilities to take care of people's trust funds. If you were an investment counselor, you could be trusted. You did your homework, and then came Madoff and Company. So the rules don't seem to work, and they certainly don't if they are not enforced. And add to this whole issue of the laws the fact that the laws themselves must be moral. Otherwise, obeying them doesn't make much sense. The laws you obey must be moral. That point was paramount in the Nuremberg trials. Too many people who did horrific things said that they were only obeying orders. The law of the land. So what is the bottom line for behavior and morality? Well, it seems to me that it's the survival of the community. If you steal another man's food, his family goes hungry. If you commit adultery, you steal another man's family. If you murder, you rob somebody of a person they love. The community needs to have limits in order for it to survive. But one of the big problems today is that communities as such are hard to come by. To talk about a global community almost means that anything goes. And so we are left with too much individual behavior, and that can be self-deceptive. There's a story of a lawyer driving along, and he comes to a stop sign, and he slows down, but doesn't stop. He slips through and goes a little ways, and there's a bubble coming up in back of him. Policeman. And he thinks about what's going to happen. He says, well, I think I can talk my way out of this. I'm a lawyer. I have a good education. And these guys, they're limited in their education. The policeman pulled him over. He said, excuse me, sir, but you didn't stop at that stop sign. And the lawyer says, well, you're right, officer. But you know, if you think about it carefully, isn't the function of a stop sign to facilitate the flow of traffic and avoid accidents? And I slowed down, and there wasn't anybody coming, so for me to go through, did it really make any difference? And the officer said, would you mind getting out of your car? So he did. And the officer took his club and starts whacking him. And he says, now tell me, do you want me to slow down or stop? Some years ago, I brought together several faculty members at UB to meet with my former philosophy teacher from Union College, who was giving a guest lecture at Canisius College. And in the course of the conversation, the subject of morality came up. One faculty member, a very good man who was also our resident atheist, said that there were no fixed moral principles. Everything was relative. But another member of the philosophy department, who was a survivor of the Holocaust, said that his colleague was wrong. He said there were some basic principles, and they were universal. And one of them was, you do not harm children. And in that light, we should remember that we are all God's children. Yom Kippur starts tonight, the Jewish Day of Atonement. There are many stories that come out of our Jewish heritage, and one from the Talmud is especially relevant. It's a story that comes from the Exodus. You remember the story. Moses is at the Red Sea. His people are trying to flee from the Egyptians. Moses lifts up his staff, and the sea parts, and the Israelites pass through. Soon, the Egyptians come along. They get in the middle of the lake, and Moses brings his rod down. The waters come down and enfold and drown the Egyptians. And in heaven, there's great rejoicing. All the heavenly hosts are clapping and stamping and shouting and singing because God's people have been victorious and survived. And then one of the angels happens to look up and see a tear in God's eye. And he says, Lord, what's wrong? And God said, remember, the Egyptians are my children too. So the bottom line for morals is that we are all God's children, and we are responsible to see that no harm comes to the children of God. And don't forget that Jesus said if we loved him, we would keep his commandments. And he said that all the commandments were represented in these two. You should love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your mind, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. And he said there was a second one equal to it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And that is where morality begins and ends. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.